Good morning. Welcome to the Gathering Place podcast. I am Pastor Todd. This week, Pastor Byron is preaching a message to edify the church. I hope you are edified as well. And now, Pastor Byron.
And that you've done so much for anybody that would call you Lord to be their God, their provider, their father, and to make things right. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you would anoint Byron today, anoint his mouth, anoint his mind to speak what you would have the church to hear, and that you would open our ears to hear that and let us know you more, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're good? We got it? Okay, good, good. God bless you all. You know, it's amazing. You know, Nessa,
I often comment, we love coming here on Sunday. You know, this is not a job to us. This is just an honor and a privilege to spend time with other believers
in the body of Christ. What we have in store for us this morning is looking at what Nancy said. You know, this is one of my favorite episodes of healing in the scripture. It's about a family that had a 12-year-old that was really sick. And I'm going to read, and we're going to hear this story three times this morning. Nancy loves my three. I love people to do three like that because I can't do it like this. It's a three. We're going to hear this story three times this morning. And the first time, I'm just going to read it because it's from Matthew, and I would call that just an abbreviation of what happened. And intertwined in this story is a woman that was having a problem getting healthy and spent all her money, and she was hopeless until she heard about Jesus. First time, I'm just going to read this through. It's found in Matthew chapter 9. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came, knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died. But come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The little girl is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put aside, he went in, took the girl by the hand. She got up, and the news of this spread throughout the region. That's the first rendering of this little episode. Mark took that same event and gave us some details that we all need to take to heart. And we're going to be looking at those details. Get a little feedback? I get to listen to myself. So in Mark, the same thing is going on, and with much, much more detail. Some things that you and I need to hear with our ears and need to hear it and plant it in our hearts forever. When Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Note number one, Jesus attracted people. There was an opposition, but himself getting out of the boat from crossing over, immediately he attracted people. You know, you and I, at one time in our life, was attracted to Jesus. And then we found a person that would never turn around, turn us away, but he would accept us just the way we are. Just the way we are. We didn't have to change anything. His arms were open to receive. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came and went to and saw him and fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My daughter is dying." You know, now we have a picture of a man with a situation in his household that there was no answer for. His daughter was burning with a fever, and he in his whole heart he knew that danger was there. She was there just struggling to hang on to life. And he heard about Jesus, and he went into that crowd and sought him out, and he earnestly pleaded with him, "My little daughter is dying. Come, put your hand on her, that so that she will be healed and live." Like all the rest of the people that gathered, Jesus received this man, and let's go to the journey to your house. The large crowd followed him and pressed around him. See, get the picture. He's in the journey to help this individual, but his heart was even to the crowds. And the little story has a little caveat to it. Because as he's journeying to this woman, this man's house where his daughter was dying, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse and worse and worse. I added those words. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And immediately the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. You know, when she finally touched his cloak, she knew something happened. At once, Jesus replied, "The power has gone out from him." And he turned around into the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see, the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet, you can ask, "Who touched me?" You know, this tells me that Jesus is aware of what's going on around us. He knows what's going on around. He's going, even though his disciples in their thought and their thinking, how can he even say, "Who touched me? Man, there's crowds crowding around you." But Jesus is not only for the many, he's for the individual. And he detected the faith of this woman that touched him. And Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that it had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." I'm going to take a moment just to share a little story before we move on with this. We had family over at our house. And family at our house brought this guinea pig. And the cutest thing I ever saw. I mean, I just wanted to pet the nose of this little guinea pig. And I think it was a fuzzball. And then so as we were all at the house and enjoying one another, unknown to us, our neighbor, who is like my son, loans his dog out. Because this family loves to have a dog, but only on a temporary basis. And I think they don't like to pay the vet bills either. So she brought the bulldog. And this bulldog is the friendliest dog, man. Loves people, lick on you and everything else. But you know, when another animal comes around, gets very aggressive. So when the bulldog comes in and kind of getting to know the new people and stuff, immediately what rose up in my heart was protect the guinea pig. and I didn't understand why all this emotion was coming on me. You know, I knew the guinea pig was in the basement. And I knew it was safe and probably the door was closed. But this whole emotion going, protect the guinea pig. Boy, if this Frenchie gets down there, that's the end of that guinea pig, you know. And no one could really get work fast enough to protect it. And I went to the people, the family members that owned the guinea pig, and I said, don't worry, the door's closed, it's all okay. I said, but that emotion came up in my heart, and I said, why am I so acting like this? Now, what I can't account for when I woke up this morning was a jingle bell, jingle, I am Buster Brown, and I live on a shoe. This is my dog, Ty, and he lives in there, too. And I said, what in the world is that about? And I still don't know what that's about. But you know what? But then as I was all alone in my room, I heard God's still voice speak in my heart. It said, "You remember when the dog came, and you got so riled up about protecting that guinea pig? I'll tell you why, because I want you to know that hardly can compare to my heart to protect you." I was just wrecked by that. That my little emotion can't compare to the God that's looking after me and says, I'll keep the door closed to all those things that will harm you always in your life. Great, I got wrecked by that. Then we move on back to the story. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" You know, I think that's key to this lesson for all of us. We get to these places in our life. We get to these places in our life where there's no answer. And it's sort of like getting to the end of our rope. And when we get those answers, you know, it the message that came to Jairus was kind of finality, wasn't it? Don't bother Jesus anymore. Your little 12-year-old daughter, she died. Just move on and move on with life and this is final. Do you and I face these things in our life? Yes, we do. We face these lives financially, relationships, with provision for health and everything else. There's these moments of time in our life that we come to this place where, you know what, it's done. I just can't ask Jesus for any more. It's finished. All done with. I want to remind us of what we're learning in this story. He's the God of the impossible. And when we come to those places in our life, when we think, don't bother Jesus anymore because it's all done with, it's over, that's a time to raise up our faith and say, God, you're the God of the impossible. I will keep my faith intact. I've been praying for this body of believers that God would raise up faith in this place. And God would just bless us with his gifts because we're all gifted in here. And we all have gifts to be used for the kingdom. But when we come to those places in our life where we say, you know, financially, man, I don't know how it's going to happen. He's there. When health issues come, he's there. When relations are broken up, he's there. And we never, never, never stop believing in this God like the little pig story, that I am so passionately in love with you. I will never fail you. I will never leave you. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep moving on. Overwhelmed at what was said. See, Jesus heard what was going on. He knew what was going on. Don't be afraid. Just believe. So, you know what? It's not just a just believe. It's not a give up thing. It's a marching order thing. It's power. Saying it's not trite. Jesus was saying, let's keep the journey on. Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. Just believe. He did not let anyone except Peter, James, John, the brother of James. When they came to the home, the synagogue leader's home, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child's not dead, he's asleep. But they laughed at him. You know, I always say in my life, my God has the last laugh. You know, it's in this journey of faith and believing in the God of the impossible, you will encounter the scoffers and the laughers. And I want to let us all know, you know what? We can't afford to spend much time with negative people. We got to surround our lives with people that when he says two or three agree in my name, we got to find a two or three to stand with us when we think the world is coming apart. So he said, after he put them out, you're not going to do it. Those negative people that come around us and try to say it can't be done, it can't happen, get them out. I get them out. I can't afford to spend time with you. I invest my time in the Word of God, knowing Jesus, the God of the impossible, and surrounding myself with people that have a passion and a love and a faith in the name of Jesus. He sent them out. Sent them out. He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumba. I'm Greek, I should know how to say that, but that's the best I could do. Which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. You know, don't we need those astonishing moments in our life? Faith takes us to those places. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. Two accounts of the story. One, a brief scenario from Matthew. The characters are not even named. Then Mark shared Jairus and telling us a little bit more of what was happening. A woman, by faith, touched the hem of his garment. Just in the journey to do a miraculous thing in a home with a dying 12-year-old. They never got discouraged. Jesus encouraged their faith and said, she's only sleeping. She's only sleeping. Got a lot of opposition. Said, we can't have these negative people around us. Get them out of my life. Get them out of here, and walked into that home with that body, lifeless body of a 12-year-old, and said, little child, get up. One word from Jesus, everything changes. I promise you three accounts of this. You know what? The third account is sometimes when stories are put to music, they plant deeper in our heart. And there was an artist back in the 70s and the early 80s that put the same story into a song. And we're going to take a moment now to hear it a third time in a song. Got it going, Jerry. I know.
Doctors gave no hope for her. She seemed to fade away. My hours were filled with constant dread. Time became a knife, but slowly and relentlessly cut the cord of life. There was a teacher in the region then. Some of us had heard that he healed a paralytic by the power of just his word. So with hope again rekindled, wanted once to see if I could find a man named Jesus from a town in Galilee. I began to search the city. Soon I saw the crowd. They were pressing in to touch him, and they called his name out loud. But with the strength of desperation, I pushed them all aside. I threw myself before him, and from my knees I cried, Lord, come and heal my daughter. Even now she's close to death. Her fever's uncontrollable. She fights for every breath. God's given you the power.
Amen. That's the third time. You know, it's get these Word of God communicated. Three ways: a brief message, a detailed message, a song. To me, sometimes the songs plant deeper. When I hear something in the melody, you got to tell somebody. Now, I'm going to share something with all of you before we close. A tell somebody moment. You know, it's you and I are the hands and feet of Jesus, actually, to do the impossible. We're the hands and feet. He's all we got right now on this planet Earth, driven by the Holy Spirit to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, it wasn't many years ago that I was by my mother-in-law's bedside. And this whole journey for her finally left her to go into the presence of Jesus. But I have a son-in-law, Joseph, who his parents are right here. Joseph came to visit my mother-in-law in the hospital. And he walks into the room with one of those moments where, a God moment. And he comes to me and says, Byron, I met a friend that I haven't seen for a long time, and his fiance is in another floor in the hospital with terminal cancer. She's fighting for life. And I told him, my father-in-law is a pastor, and he loves to pray for people. Is it all right if I bring him to your fiancé's bedside? And him and his fiancé were not necessarily religious. And he said, well, you know what? It can't hurt. So why don't you get him and have him come to my fiancé's bedside? Can't hurt. We need all the help we can get. Like we've learned, we get these places where it's hopeless. And this may be a moment when God comes and gets involved. So he told me, I said, sure, Joe. I'm trying to learn to say Joseph. He likes Joseph. He's still my Joe.
I call him Joey.
So, sure, take me to your friend that you haven't seen in a long time. He took me to him. I met him in the hallway. Now, for me, these are all nameless people because I never, ever remember hearing the names of these people. Nameless to me, but not to my God. So I went there, met him in the hallway. He took me to a room where a young lady was lying there, all drugged up for all the pain and all the stuff. And the doctor said, there's no hope. So I kind of woke her up and I said, I'm Byron Barclays. And I've been asked to pray for you. Would it be okay with you that I pray with you? And she was like, okay. Very drugged up. So I laid hands on her and I asked the God of the impossible to invade the circumstance of this couple that was planning to get married, but this all changed their plans. And laid hands and prayed for her. And left. Wasn't too long later, I got a call from my son-in-law. He said, you know what just happened? I said, what just happened? He said, you know that lady, that fiance? Do you know that one in the hospital? She was healed. Cancer gone. Do you know a little bit about this story? All right. You know what? And they got married. You know what? And we love to hear the stories and say, yay, God. You know, you intervened in this. You helped this young lady and they got married but you know what? It wasn't but a few years that she passed away. They only enjoyed just a few years of being married together. But you know what? I don't know. What I don't know about the story is how that impacted them. And I would love to say, I can't say for sure, that they came to faith, but I don't know. I don't know. But I know God, whether you're a saint or sinner, when it's his time to come in and take take action and effect in people's life, he's there. He's there. So that's a little episode out of my life that's got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. And guys, your storybook is still being written. And you have a beautiful, you invite Jesus into your life, and you have him take part of your life. You learn of his love and forgiveness and his compassion for you to protect you and guard over you, just like my feelings for a little guinea pig with a bulldog. God is relentless to bring protection over your life, guide you, protect you, and lead you. And he's making you and me a beautiful novel, not of who we are, but who we are in Christ Jesus. And he'll do abundantly, exceedingly, guys, more than any of us could ask or think. Be reminded out of this story that you have a Jesus that is ever present in your life to bring you through the impossibles of life. Twyla, could you come up?
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.